You are basically just, get rid of that, because Zoom always pops up these things that mess you up when you start recording. So a business collaboration is really two or more businesses cooperating together for the benefit of everybody. So the example I use is, if you're in a small town, you have a retail business and you're competing against Walmart, how do you do that? And not a single small business, maybe selling some clothes or something like that, probably not going to compete against Walmart head on. But if you have a collaboration, then yes, you can figure out how to do that and get people to come to you instead of break that Walmart trap. So that's kind of a brick and mortar type example. For a service business, it's really kind of, you're cooperating to take your experience as a consultant, for instance, and bringing somebody else on the team. So you're forming a collaborative team to provide a much better service to the clients than they can get just by going to, say a big nationwide consulting firm. And so that is collaboration. We're working together and we have an agreement that we're going to work together and we're going to provide services or goods to our customers and basically provide those goods and services or services in lieu of, them going with a bigger company. Faceless, soulless, national company. Keep it local is what I'm saying.
I definitely understand what you're saying. Okay, to get into these the questions I actually have written down here, I asked that because, I'm nosy. I got to throw in some stuff in there for myself so I can know this stuff. What are the key ingredients for a successful small business collaboration?
Number one is trust. You need to trust your partner. And because I'm not a big one on having these, I really think a big formal written agreement already says you don't trust the person. So I want to work with people that I know and trust and don't necessarily need to have a big formal agreement. We'll work out terms and how everybody's going to get paid and things like that. And sometimes you need a little bit of an agreement to do that. But if you're doing a 25-page contract to have a collaboration with somebody, then that might not be the person you want to team with. So, it helps get something down on paper so you know what the terms are and how people are going to get paid and how you're going to bill each other and those types of things. But trust is a big part of it because you're really going to be working with that person. There's going to be things come up that you don't foresee or anticipate. So having the trust in the person you're doing business with is going to be critically important because you're going to trust them to deal with things. And also, trust is important because you're introducing your collaboration partners to your people, your marketing leads you've got, or people you have established business relationships with, and you have to trust them not to undermine or steal your clients. I've done some business collaborations in the past, and I have had, some of these people steal your clients. It's very short-sighted to do that, and it's poor business because, I will never do business with those people again, but there are people like that out there, so trust is really important, and having business partners you can trust, and everybody needs to understand that they operate, that they trust each other, and they operate with integrity. So the other thing is integrity, and the classic definition of integrity is who you are when people aren't looking, and that, when you're not under the microscope or under scrutiny, it's how you operate and your principles that you operate under. And so I'm always looking for people that have integrity in their business dealings. And even if things go south on a particular business transaction, you know and you can trust those people because they have integrity to, you know, if you take a loss on things, then you share that, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, not placing blame and pointing fingers. That's really integrity. And that probably is one, the business quality I value the most in people is integrity.
I like that. I did expect trust to come up. I did expect integrity. And I can't help but think that that person who took your client really missed out on some other business.
You know, they do. It's very short-sighted to do that. And, you know, I will, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the dance you brought to the dance, right? That's what he does. you don't run off and dance with somebody else. So that's pretty much the way I look at it. And I find it very short-sighted. And I would never do that, you know. And I'll honor my end of the deal, and I'm going to operate with integrity. And so you want somebody on the other side that is going to operate with integrity also, you know. Yeah. Or then you have to go to that 25-page agreement, and I'm just getting too old and crotchety to spend a lot of time looking at long agreements and getting into those things. It's not worth it.
Yeah. I understand. Well, let's play one of the videos from D-District and get his take on our partnerships. I'm going to put this on here and make sure I turn on the sound. And play it.
In addition, when it comes to collaboration, I recommend that you leave your ego, the other person's ego, at the door and really have some real communication on what the objective of the collaboration is. Set the foundation for the work that should be done, the expectations between the two. I expect that you do this, I expect that you do that, and if we do these things together, this is the outcome from a profit standpoint that we should get, and this is how we'll structure the split of the profit. And if you communicate clearly, and we have learned that sometimes communicating clearly also includes written communication where there may be a signed contract between the two of you so everybody knows what the expectations are and have signed the document and working towards the biggest amount of profit that you can make through the collaboration. Those are things that I think that will help.
Okay, Thomas. Expectations.
You made some good points there. Yeah, that you know, the communication, we were kind of talking about that a little bit. The communication and expectations, I think, are great, and you make some very good points on that. So.
Yeah, I do assume and expect a lot, so it would help for it if I wrote things down.
Yeah,
are you like that sometimes?
I am, and sometimes you need to write things down in matter of, but I tend to be a lot more informal, and I, you know, sometimes I get burned because of it, because I tend to trust people maybe more than I should, so my default position is to trust people, and, you know, based on the world we're living in, maybe that's not always a good assumption, but, you know, I like to see the, you know, I like to be hopeful that people are going to have my same values that I'm doing business with, and that's important, you know. And, you know, and we can get into things, too, like Christian values, you know. I mean, most of the people I do business with, probably not all, you know, not all, but, you know, they will probably have the Christian values, too. And if they don't, then they understand where I'm coming from on that. And you know, that goes back to the integrity and just believing in the good in people and that type of thing, that you're going to work out. And that's That's kind of what I like to see, and I'm not afraid to talk about that, you know, and people understand that I tend to be a little on the conservative side and the Christian side, and you know, I'm not going to beat up anybody with religion, but they need to know that those are the principles I'm going to operate under in a business environment, my personal environment, whatever, and you know, those are my values, and you know, I would hope that people would respect and honor that, you know, especially if we're working together, and so that's, and I'm pretty clear on that with the folks, so you know, I don't hide that.
It makes so sense.
Yeah.
I did once host an event for some people who were doing some strange things, like changing, and I got scared. So I didn't ask this stuff up front.
Yeah.
So that communication is definitely key. Let people know your values. That way, when you're hosting an event, you won't get scared and run off. So I'm not sure if any of that ever happened to you, but I definitely wanted to stop what I was doing.
It's just strange situations, but you know, it's kind of like you have a filter for those things. And usually, you know, after you've been in the business for as long as I have, you start to get, you know, that sixth sense on, you know, people's values and stuff. And you know, I think if you're going to be in business together, your values have to align.
Yeah.
And that's getting back to integrity and all that we were just talking about. So alignment of values. And you get that, you know, like DJ Strick said, through communication.
Yeah. So how can, and you can correct me if I've already said this one, how can businesses identify the right partners to collaborate with? And I know we just said values. So did we already go over this one? Because I totally lost my place.
No, we didn't per se, although we kind of overlap a little bit here, but you know, it's kind of feeling out the person, you know, if you know, and asking, or you know, if you have common, if you've had some common business arrangements, and so people can vouch for them, so you understand what their values are, you know, and heck, you know, we got right here in town, we have a Dunkin' Donuts. I meet a lot of people here. I spent a fair amount of money at Dunkin' Donuts and using their Wi-Fi and stuff, but you know, connecting with people and, you know, sit down over a cup of coffee and discuss stuff. And you can learn a lot in a very relaxed environment and how you do that. Now, I've done remote things with people. I've done business with people because I'm in Middle Tennessee and I do business all over the country. So, and particularly a fair amount of business in California. So I have actually connected up with people I've collaborated with where I've not met them in person for a while. And, you know, so it's a little bit different process to meet and understand people online, but you know, you can hop on a Zoom meeting, you know, you can on the telephone and you know, the important thing is to kind of explore how you do things and understand what their values, their principles are, and, you know, if you can trust them, if they have integrity, you know, and you can get that sense. I mean, there are people that may lie to you, and you can easily pick up on that if they're elusive or evasive and on certain things, you know, so you can pick up on that, and that's important. So it's just a little different if you do it online versus in person. But, you know, locally, I like to meet people in person, and we just sit down and have a cup of coffee. And you know, now Dunkin' Donuts doesn't have any of their really fancy things that Starbucks does, but that's okay.
I have donuts, so. I have a Krispy Kreme.
Okay.
Do you have
a Krispy Kreme in Middle Tennessee? I think we do in Murfreesboro, which is north of me, but my local small town does not. So Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks is what it is. So. And I like Dunkin' Donuts because they got a conference room, and so I just meet people there, and I've done videos there and stuff like that. So I got a good working relationship with Dunkin' Donuts.
Nice.
Big shout out to Dunkin' Donuts. The office away from the office.
Okay. Now let's play another video from the district, and he's going to answer what are some red flags that indicate a collaboration might not be a good fit. So I'm going to put that up there. Hopefully I got the right one. Yeah.
Hey, I think all of these are really great things. And what I would focus on when it comes to collaboration or partnering with someone is start off really small with them. You know, sometimes from a small business standpoint, yes, it's all about business. So your time, your effort needs to go into making dollars. Okay, making a profit, that's a better way of saying that, right? You want to profit on the time in business. But when you're starting a partnership with someone, it may be good that you start a project that doesn't automatically have profit on the end of it. Something that you may be collaborating together, whether that's through nonprofit work, whether that's just any other way where the two of you guys may you may be doing the work together, but the person that's purchasing, the customer, is paying each of you for the part that you play, even though you're working together. So you can see how they work without being responsible for the money. So if the customer is maybe gets upset by some things that your partner does, is not, from the collaboration standpoint, is not on you, and the customer knows that. And you may find a great partner, or you may find out, hey, I don't automatically like the way they do business or way they handle the customer. I'm going to be sure the next time I do this on my own. So I did have a experience with a collaborator, even in live streaming, and we just had two different thoughts about how to live stream long-term. And guess what? Because of the long-term idea I had, I'm still chugging along, and I'm not with that partner anymore. We still talk, we're still great friends, but when it came to the collaboration we were doing, they had one thought, I had another thought, and we just separated, and we did it in a way that we can still be friends and talk to each other and still glean from each other. And the door is always open, but we didn't affect the other person's business. Okay, my business went on, his business went on, and everybody's happy. All right, that's just something I want to add to the conversation.
All right, I think you had said something about that before, Thomas. You've worked with someone and you guys had to go your separate ways because they wanted to take your clients.
Yeah, that's one way to keep the relationship. Short-term gain versus long-term loss. And that's part of it. And, you know, if you're in business for a while, you're going to find people like that. You know, that's just an expectation. You know, your filter, you know, some people are pretty good at, you know, smoothing and all that stuff and building your trust, and then they stab you in the back, you know, no other way to say it. And, you know, but, you know, then you just kind of, you know, maybe you're mad about it or whatever, but you move on and it's not worth dwelling on. It's kind of, you know, and you also can't let a bad experience stop you from exploring the collaborative relationships with other people. It's just, you know, There's a few bad actors out there, and they don't see the long term, you know, like we do. Is we're in it for the long haul, and just some of those people, they want to make a quick hit, and they don't think about tomorrow. So there are ways to, you know, when you talk about red flags, there's ways to kind of filter that, but sometimes you get fooled. I'll flat out say it, you know. So, you know, if you're going to be in business for a while, you're going to get a few of those people that you know, when you look back on it, sometimes you say, well, yeah, you know, there was this and this that I should have picked up on. But some people are smooth operators. So, yeah, you really have to ask the questions and listen to the answers about what's your value. Do you share common values? And like I said previously, if people are a little elusive and stuff, you know, then you may have some questions. And so you got to kind of evaluate that. It's not even what they say, but it's the tone of voice or how they express themselves. And mm-hmm. and so that's part of it. So you not only have to, you know, hear what they say, but how they say it. And so some of those become red flags, you know, obviously, you know, if you know their reputation and they've had bad business dealings with other people, you know, you have to determine if it's them or the other person. So checking some of those things out. And most of us, you know, when it comes right down to it, operate in a relatively small niche. So people know people, and you can check things out, really. And that's why, you know, and if I can put that on his head, why it's important for us to maintain our own integrity, because if you take advantage of somebody, even if it's perceived, then that word gets around and it damages our own reputation. So we need to zealously guard our own reputation in business and make sure we're always doing the right things. And even if it ends up, you know, costing us some money or we don't make a profit on the job, if we're going to live up to our word, then that reputation is going to get around, you know, instead of, you know, saying, well, too bad, so sad, you know, and take the money and run, you know, you fix the problem. And that's, you know, even if you end up dipping into your own pocketbook, because that, if we're in it for the long haul, then our reputation is everything. And so that's kind of flipping it on its head. Here's the bad actors over here we want to recognize. And on the other hand, we want to have the highest level of integrity we can and make sure that people want to seek us out to do business with us because of our integrity. And you're going to attract people that share your values that way, because they're going to look at you and say, this person has integrity, I share values with them, I want to do business with that person. So that's part of it, you know. And there's people out there too that, you know, I just, you know, sometimes, you know, just got a little pet peeve of mine, but you're talking to people and they're dropping an F-bomb every other sentence, and it's just kind of like, you know, holy cow, you know, is this a person I want to do business with? Is this a person I want talking to my clients? And, you know, some people don't mind that, you know, but it really bothers me, you know, because it's communication, how you present yourself. And so I look at that and say, yeah, we don't want to do that. You know, not that I've ever cursed, you know.
I'm laughing, Tom, is because I'm remembering the time where you told me that you didn't like that. And I was like, oh, English is a made up language anyway. And then my son started saying those words, and I'm like, I believe you now, Tom, if those things are bad.
Yeah. And I, you know, kind of a private, sometimes I do, but you know, when you're dealing with people, you know, I was on a video call with some stuff already.
Oh,
clean.